I want to show you two video clips. Before I do, I just want to say this to you. If this is your first night, we do have some different products out in the back. Everyone always asks me, what's this, what's that? So I try to use this time to explain it to you. We wrote this book and came out in January, and it's called How to Hear God's Voice. And it's like a little manual. We were going to put it in a regular book form, but I just felt like God spoke to me to put it together in a manual form so that people could make notes about hearing God's voice. It's one of the weakest areas that we see in the church nationwide by far. And so that's why we went and put it together. God gave me a supernatural encounter back in 1987. And in 87, I tell about it, how he taught me how to hear God's voice. And I even preached on it at John G. Lake Ministries last year. And people from all over the world began to write us about it and just said, wow, I just never knew that. I didn't know it was so simple. And how do you hear God's voice? I had no idea. And so I told my wife, I said, I need to put it in a book form so that people can catch it wherever they are. You know, the early church, they didn't have the Bible. Come on, somebody, right? All they had was hearing God's voice. That's all they had. That's all they had, you know. And so, so that's why I want to stir your heart for that. Also, we wrote a book. This is the second book I ever wrote. It was called Show Us Your Glory. And the whole book is about revival. And what does revival look like? You know, so many people nowadays, they put a stake in the front yard of the church and they say, revival, Sunday through Friday. Well, just because a stake is in the yard doesn't mean it's really a revival. And so what does a revival look like? And so I talk about it historically. What do revivals look like? You know, if you have a good, you know, casserole or you have a good meal of something, there's a recipe. How many of you know there's a recipe, right? And so if you follow the recipe, no matter who you are or no matter where you are in the world, you can make the exact same thing. And so that's what I talk about in here. Show us your glory. What does a real revival look like? What are some of the qualities of a real revival? Also, we've got some praise and worship out there. This here is not something you fall asleep to. This one's called Performers of the Unknown. This is pretty radical. And but it's really powerful praise and worship. Who wants this one? I'll bless someone tonight. All right. Pastor, give it to someone wild, will you? Just you do it. Come on, he's taking bribes. Come on. Then also, we literally put our entire book table, after much thought about it, completely on a thumb drive. And so we have our entire book table, which is about 10 times the size of what I have in the back. It's got about a dozen worship songs or so, and conferences and all kinds of different stuff. E-books and all the books you see are all on here as well as our entire Bible school. And so each class of our regular Bible school, if you were just to take them one by one, is over $500 just for the Bible school, not counting the other. So this little thing here would cost you over $800. And so it's on sale this week just for $100. So you could have all of it at once. You could literally plug it in the back of your computer or your television and you could watch and enjoy. Okay, I'm going to show you two quick video clips. And y'all are kind of quiet tonight, so you're kind of freaking me out here again. But come on, look at your neighbor. Say, loosen up. Come on, just pretend like you're watching the Hoosiers or something tonight, all right? So, sorry. Okay. So I want to show you a video clip. This is when we were down there where Keisha was talking about in Richmond, and we took people out to the mall, and we were healing the sick. And you'll get to see some of this. Watch this. This will really bless you. We had someone get saved, and I took them to their house, and they got baptized, and it was wild. Watch this. I hear the crickets. How about that?
Literally.
Hey guys, it's Tom. Hey, listen, this is a great video that we've got of our recent time of ministry in Indiana. We had a lot of people come out to the meetings and kickstart people, and we got people saved and baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we took them all over from malls to trailer courts and all over different places to minister to people. And we went and made disciples is what we did. And so it was really amazing what the Holy Spirit did. I pray this video really touches and blesses you and stirs you up to fulfill all that God has for you wherever you are and watching this.
I put this little video together. So what was wrong before?
Your pain. What pain was you having? Stomach and back.
Just so much, yeah.
And your stomach, you feel better now or what?
Now it's better.
Is it better?
This girl is freaking out. She just came to America not too long ago. She got healed in the mall.
Just pray for her. No, put your hand right in his back. Yeah.
Father, I'm asking you to heal his back. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we stick this back to your days whole.
Yeah.
Pain go, swelling go, and back be aligned and strengthened in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
So, where were you past that? Where did you trip to? Journey Live?
Well, listen.
Is that the one just on the side of Fauci's?
Yes.
Nursery?
Yes.
Try it out, man.
What did you do before?
Yeah, bend down. See if you can find the pain.
Actually, I couldn't even put my shoes on this morning, so that's pretty awesome.
So it's halfway better?
My dad can put my shoes on.
Is it better?
Yeah.
That's great, man.
Man, I believe in God's healing.
That's awesome,
really,
man.
I mean,
that's great.
But we pray every morning. That's great.
Show me again. Let me see it. So yesterday I prayed for you because you had, what was wrong with your shoulder again?
I had a, right here, I had a severe, like somebody was stabbing me with a knife. I mean, literally putting it in my back.
Wow.
And it would come up here, come down and hit right in the elbow, like right there. And then it hit between these two fingers.
Oh man.
Even my arm was turning white because it was cut off. You know, I had to keep it at a certain angle.
But you couldn't lift it at all.
No, I was like this.
I felt terrible. And then so now?
Yes.
Now look at
good.
Absolutely.
Come on. Give the Lord a hand. Amen.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
It's not hurting right here, and it's not hurting back here anymore.
Yeah. That's great.
I slept all night.
That's great.
That's the first time I didn't cross and turn on.
Okay, you jump in.
This is his daughter. His daughter got healed. Okay. And then she wanted to get saved, and she wanted to get baptized immediately. So the same day, she got baptized in her bathtub right there.
Okay.
Come on. Come on, somebody.
The biggest decision with accepting Jesus.
Yeah, right.
The next biggest decision, which is being baptized. And what that means is we're just going to bury the old, it's in Amanda, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amanda. So we're going to bury the old Amanda so that the new Amanda can arise. So, okay, so we're going to bury you. We're going to completely dunk you under, and then we're going to take you up. So plug your nose. Okay? So we baptize you to Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Woohoo! Come on.
Right now, right now, we just keep blessing over her right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, touch her right now. We ask in the name of Jesus. You can hear
that. I know, right?
Yeah. Right now, she's sick of the mouth of all.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for her right now. For your touch, God. Fill her. Fill her, fill her, fill her, fill her, fill her. Just lift your hands right now, Lord. Fill her right here this morning. This afternoon, in Jesus' name,
come
fill
on.
With your spirit, we ask right now. Jesus' name. Amen.
Woo! Hey. The whole family is in the bathroom with us right now.
I'll help you. I'll
help you. Whoops, ladies, hand me a Kleenex box because I need it.
Well, tell me, okay, so how long have you had this, this walker?
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think how long it has been. At least a year.
At least a year. You had a lot of pain and...
Oh, yes.
Wow. And so I prayed for you tonight, and what happened?
Well, I'm a little stiff,
You can walk. Show me how you walk. Let me see how you walk without it.
She's walking, getting up and down.
I know, right? It's amazing.
I have trouble getting
just walk that way. Walk up toward the church, front of the church.
Come on.
Is that awesome? Look at that. How long has it been since you've been able to do that?
Oh, my. At least a year.
At least a year. And now, no pain.
I have slight pain, but it's going away.
Yeah, that's great.
Going away.
Isn't that awesome?
Come on, somebody. Give Jesus a big hand clap.
Yeah.
All right. I'll show you the other one. We were just in Puerto Rico. I shared a little bit about that. We'll just show this one very, very quickly in Mayagüez, Puerto Rico. I showed it last night, but we had so many awesome things. We had over 150 people come to the mall. Pastor thought it was closer to 200, and it looked like a gang just walked into the mall. I mean, it was unbelievable. At the beginning, there's only about 25, 30 people, but by the end, there was almost 200 people there. I can confidently say that. And we had so many testimonies. We had to stop the testimonies that night of how many people got healed. So watch this. This is really cool.
Getting ready to go out and evangelize and kickstart people in the mall here in Puerto Rico. And we're really excited. We're with Pastor David.
Praise
and,
the Lord.
And with some of his kids and some people from the church. A whole bunch of people are going to meet us. We're going to go to the mall.
150 people. We're going to go.
150 people. We're all going to go to the mall.
And we're going to meet at one certain place in a few minutes.
It's going to be awesome at the mall here in Puerto Rico.
And so West, Puerto Rico.
We're excited for it. Watch for miracles.
The whole group here that we're going to kickstart today. Look at all of them. All these people have come here to the mall in Mayagüez, Puerto Rico. And they're all going to go out with us. And we're going to evangelize, and we're going to heal the sick and cast out demons. They're getting ready to do it. We're going to do it.
Ese que me duele mucho, yo le dije, no, haz lo que no podías hacer, dóblate.
He said, bend down.
Y empezó, y ahora, siente el dolor mío, no, se fue.
Wow.
She got healed?
Right now, eso fue ahora.
Yeah. Awesome. It's going to be great.
¿Quién lo hizo?
So we just pray right now for supernatural encounters. And may boldness come on you like never before. And then put your hand on her back. And then just say, all pain go in the name of Jesus. Now do this. Bend over, touch your toes, see if you feel better. Is it a little better? Is it? Ah, that's good. Ah.
I should have gotten all this.
No, keep going.
Okay, so tú le dijiste, entonces yo le dije, pero a ti te duele algo, y ella me dijo, no, no me duele nada, y en la rodilla. Le dije, pero ponga la rodilla, usted le duele algo. Dijo, no, no me duele, ahora no me duele nada. Entonces, wow. Otra señora fue que es del pabellón de la victoria, donde usted está en iglesia bien grande. Entonces, mira, pues yo quiero que usted ore por una persona. Yo no sé si era que estaba ahí.
She asked the girl, the lady, if she has pain here. She said, here and the knee. And then when she prayed, she asked again, and she said, I don't have pain.
That's
my shoulder.
Okay, come over here. Yeah.
Wait, let me take this one.
Okay.
Don't hurt me.
No, I won't. Where does it hurt?
Right here, like in my shoulder.
Okay, so right now, all pain go in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, lift it.
No way.
No what way. Happened?
No way, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, I do.
Oh my God. I've been in this day for like a week.
No.
Really?
Awesome.
Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Go like this.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Okay,
say it in English.
Well, there was a girl in a store, and she was calling someone, like a friend or something. She was testifying about what God did with her body when Tom prayed for her.
And you didn't know?
No, I didn't know that.
Wow.
I just heard, and I knew that it was God, because there was a lot of people praying for others, so... I knew that it was God.
Yeah.
And it was exciting because I was just walking and I heard, oh my God, like they believe in it. So
that she was testifying,
yes,
on the phone
to someone that didn't believe in God, because she was saying it was God, because I had a pain for like a month and now I don't have it.
Wow.
Like,
isn't
you
that
remember
great?
The pain that I had from the phone? And she was like saying, like, I had that, you remember, now I don't have it.
That is awesome. That's
amazing. Woohoo! Come on, give Jesus a big hand clap. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you, Jesus. God's good, right? And the Lord's always looking to just activate people. That's all he's looking for. So, All right. Well, tonight, if you got your Bibles just for a few minutes, grab your Bibles. Go over to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings 4. Is that lady here tonight that I just met today at Walmart? Where is she? Okay, she's coming tomorrow night then. Okay. I met a lady at Walmart and she wants to come. She wants to bring her whole family. She said, I want all of us to get healed at the same time. Is that okay? I said, that's okay. I said, I checked with God. That's okay. He's okay with it. So I thought, wow, that's excellent. So 2 Kings 4 says in verse 8, it says, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, and there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now, I know this is a holy man of God that passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, a table, a chair, and a lampstand. And it shall be that whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned to the upper room and laid down there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite woman. And when he called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, say now to her, look, you've been concerned with us for all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or commander of the army? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi said, actually, she has no son, and her husband's old. And he said, call her. And when she had called her, she stood in the doorway. And he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son at the appointed time had come, of which Elisha said to her. So this whole story, before we take the offering tonight, I just want to say to you is this, is that when she made room for the anointing made room for her. When she made room with the man of God, that the anointing on his life came on her. Come on, somebody. Amen. So there was something about it that when she made room for it, it did something back to her at the exact same time. So this is just a principle of God. This is a principle of the kingdom. The same thing happened in the New Testament in Luke chapter 19 with Jesus. Jesus tells the disciples, go to the village, go find a colt on which no one has ever sat. How many of you remember that? And he says, just bring them to me. And when the owner of the colt says, what are you doing? Just tell them the Lord has need of it. Come on. Everyone say the Lord has need of it. So here he went and he began to do the exact same thing. He began to make room. They began to make room by giving unto the man of God being the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the same thing several other different times throughout the scriptures. We see where the exact same thing took place. So it's not just a matter of a bucket plunking thing. Some people, they just bucket plunk whatever small bill they have in their wallet. They just, that'll be good. And instead, there was something about really honoring it. And I could tell you of some of the most powerful meetings I've ever been a part of in my life have been when I was actually in a powerful time during the offering. I remember when we were in Bible school in 1994. I had pastored first, and then I transitioned to become an evangelist in 1994. And so in 1994, here I am. I transitioned to become an evangelist. I started traveling and stuff while I was in Bible school. And so I remember this one particular Sunday I was home, and my pastor was Kenneth Hagin Jr. How many of you know that guy? Anyone know Kenneth Hagin? Okay, so Kenneth Hagin Jr. was my pastor. And so this particular Sunday, there was, you know, many people there, whatever, 4,000 or 5,000 there. And so the worship just got over and stuff, and there were people drunk in the spirit all over the church. Well, he was real methodical, and he didn't like things getting out of control and stuff. So people are wasted, and he looks in the back, and the ushers are all drunk in the spirit, all of them. Every one of the ushers are all drunk. And so he looks in the back, and they're trying to hold this big guy up. I mean, this dude's big. Do you remember that night? And so they're trying to hold this big guy up, and he is so drunk. I mean, God bless it. You know, his weave was coming out or whatever it was. His toupee was half coming off. I wasn't going to say it, but I mean, he just looked a mess, you know? So here he is drunk, and he's laughing and he's crying and laughing. And so Pastor Hagen said, well, what in the world? What's going on with all these ushers are still drunk? I mean, all of us were, you know, still really impacted and stuff, but I'll never forget it. And so we just kind of waited on the Lord there for a little bit, and people start laughing all over the church. The joy of the Lord hit. And so we just kind of waited on the Lord a while and hear all these ushers. You could hear that big usher. You could hear him laughing hysterically in the back, right? So Pastor Hagen said, bring him on up here. Well, it took like 3-4 guys to bring this big old dude up, you know, and he's so drunk. They're trying to lead him and he'll go forward in the back. And so they get him up onto the stage, and you have to understand in that stage, the stage is so big, it's literally the size of a basketball court, just the stage. And it's a hydraulic lift in the middle so that when the worship team comes out, they actually come up by hydraulic lift. So they're actually, as the worship starts, you don't even see them. They're coming up out of the ground. So they bring this big guy up there. And so Pastor Hagen says, so what's going on? And this guy said, God spoke to me that I'm supposed to go and be obedient and go to China as a missionary. And so Pastor Hagen said, well, that's awesome. That's what happened to him that night. And he says, yeah, but I have no money. And when he said that, the joy of the Lord hit everyone in the place and everyone started laughing. And the ushers got so drunk, they took their hands off him and he fell. And when he fell, that hydraulic lift boom, went down like that. And now everybody in the building is laughing hysterically. And so I'm sitting on the front row. And so as I'm sitting here, I'm laughing. All my friends around me that were all laughing. And I see this guy up in the top balcony jump up. And he's shouting and praising the Lord. And he took off his jacket. And he's going to run the aisles. And so he starts running the aisles. And as he runs the aisles, he comes running by the stage. And when he runs by the stage, he takes out the money in his wallet and he throws it on the guy and keeps running. Yeah. And so I thought, all I remember, this is honest before God, that's all I remember. I remember thinking, well, that's nice. And the next thing you know, I mean, the Holy Spirit hits me and about 300 people at the same time. And we all gang rush the altar, and the next thing I know, I'm standing over him dumping my wallet out. And I'm like, what the heck am I doing? I'm a student. I mean, I don't have money. And I'm laughing my head off, dumping all my money on this guy. By the end of the night, it was about a 3-hour service. And just everybody just kept running. People, men are taking off their shoes, leaving their shoes on them, taking off ties. Ladies are taking off bracelets, rings, watches. By the end, I kid you not, there was a mountain of money on the top of this guy. And when it was all said and done, after 2.5 hours, whatever, 3 hours of this offering, just everybody's weeping in the whole building. Everyone's weeping. And so the other ushers look at the pastor and say, what do we do? He goes, well, pick it up. It's his money. So they picked it up. They went and counted it. And as they counted it for him, they went and they found out it was enough money for him to go to China, take his family, and live for 3 years without an offering. Come on, somebody. Is that awesome? For 3 years without an offering. And so he went to China, literally sold everything that week and moved to China because God said, in the offering. It was during the offering time. Come on, somebody. So there's just something about that. I mean, I could tell you of incident after incident after incident after incident where we've just seen where God has just done something in people. Where something, there's just a joy, there's a liberation. Thank you for that enthusiasm tonight. So I know I'm on the right track here. Come on. Amen. Amen. I mean, I could tell you of time after time. I can tell you in Pastor Rodney's meetings. I remember this one time we were in Pastor Rodney's meetings and it was during the offering time. And during the offering, he is preaching on the offering. I've never heard a better teaching on the offering than that night. And he is just going for it. And as he's going for it like that, I turned to my wife and I said, you know, there's some things that we want to do. We don't have enough money. And she said, yeah. And so I said, so if it's not enough to meet the need, let's just go ahead and make it a seed. Come on, right? So I said, let's just empty the ministry bank account right now. So I just wrote out a check right there, emptied the ministry bank account, put it in the offering envelope. And man, the devil's talking to you, you know, and this and that. And so as I put the whole amount in there, as the pastor says, now go ahead and raise your offering up to the Lord. So I just grabbed the offering envelope, raised my offering up to the Lord. As I do, the Holy Spirit said, now take off your favorite watch and put in the offering too. I'm like, what watch? I don't believe I wore a watch tonight, you know. You know, come on, somebody. But I'll tell you what, literally in less than 7 days, God so provided for our family and so provided for our ministry that literally more than 10 times the amount we sowed came back to us within 7 days. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Everyone say, make room for the anointing. I'll give you one last scripture. In 1 Chronicles 13, you can look at it later. 1 Chronicles 13, it tells about a Gentile guy by the name of Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom was a great man. It talks about him 2-3 times in Chronicles. It talks about him in Samuel. And Obed-Edom was a Gentile. He was not a Jewish man. But Obed-Edom went, and when the Bible says that David was bringing the Ark of God to the Lord, how many of you remember when the man went and steadied the Ark? How many of you remember that? Right? So when he steadied the Ark, first off, God never told him to put the Ark on a cart to begin with. It always, if you look at God's instructions, it had to be on the shoulders of men. That will tell you something tonight. You cannot put the presence of God on a building. You cannot put the presence of God, come on somebody, on a TBN, on a God TV, on a Daystar, and say, you carry it for God. Come on somebody. It's got to be on the shoulders of human beings. Thank you for that. Amen. All right. So as this man falls over dead, Uzzah, as he falls over dead for steadying the ark, the Bible says David said, we have to leave the ark right here. Where can we leave it? Obed-Edom said, I will give you my tent. Remember that? The Bible says he made room in his tent for the ark to come in. And the Bible says in 3 months, God blessed all that Obed-Edom had. So much so that Obed-Edom went and was so blessed that when the ark left, he says, I'm following that presence. And so Obed-Edom went and followed the ark back to Jerusalem. And as he followed it back, the Bible says that David said, Obed-Edom and all your family, I think it was 17 family members, were grafted into Israel. And as not only were they grafted in, they were elected the head of finance. Come on, somebody. And on top of it, not only the head of finance, but they were told to lead the way. Because of one time they made room. Everyone say, make room. One time he made room for God, you know, a woman with an alabaster box, one time made room. Come on, right? This Shunammite woman, one time made room and here the very desire of her heart, something that money couldn't buy was given to her. So tonight when we give, remember that. Amen. So if you need an offering envelope, ushers, if you guys could just jump to your feet. If you need an offering envelope, just raise your hand real high for the ushers. And if you make out a check, you can just make it out to New Life. New Life Church, if you want to make out your offering to that. And then we're going to pray over this before we receive it, guys. If you need an offering envelope, just wave at these guys. All right. Thank you, Jesus. We'll just give you a minute. Make room for God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, just hold your offering up to heaven, Father, tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, there are people here tonight that need a breakthrough in their finances. Lord, they need you to move supernaturally in their finances. And so, Lord, right now we lift this up to heaven and we say, Lord, we bless you. We thank you for it. We say, Heavenly Father, we ask you to receive these gifts that we give to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So go for it, guys. All right. So say in 2 Kings chapter, but move over to chapter 6. Could I ask you two a huge favor? Could you move that over here? Is that all right? So go to 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 1. 2 Kings 6 says this. And the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, "See, now the place where we dwell is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and let us make a beam there and let us make there a place that we may dwell." And he said, "Go." And the one said, "Please consent with your servants." And he said, "I will go." And so he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" One version says, "Where did you lose it?" Everyone say that out loud. Everyone say it one more time. Say, "Where did you lose it?" It says, "And he showed him the place, and he cut off a stick, and he threw it in there and made the iron float. And therefore he said, 'Pick it up for yourself.' And he reached out his hand, and he took it." Now, the Lord began to minister to me this afternoon about going in a different direction tonight in these revival meetings here. And yeah, we're going to still pray for the sick, so no worries there. But the Lord began to minister to me about this. Where did you lose it? Where did you lose it? So many people today in the body of Christ, they get saved and they get frustrated. They get spiritually frustrated with God. And the first thing they need to know is this. So the first thing you need to know is you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body, right? All three of them are connected. But when you got saved, you're only one third perfect. It was your spirit that was perfected in Christ, right? So your spirit is born again. Your spirit man is made anew. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away and all things have become new, right? So all of those promises are about your spirit, right? You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. You are now in contact with God. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ. But that's all talking about your spirit, your spirit, your spirit. Now, many people, you know, when it comes to understanding these things, what they don't realize is that God still tells us something to do with our soul. So the Bible talks about the renewing of the mind. Come on, right? So the renewing of the mind, the Bible talks about this. Renewing of the mind is the number one thing that every believer needs in Rochester, in Greenfield, in Indy, in, you know, wherever it might be, Minneapolis, Minnesota, in Johannesburg, South Africa, in Zurich, Switzerland. It's the renewal of the mind. Come on, right? And so it's the renewing of your mind. That's your number one most important thing that you need to know is you're not trying to get God to do something more for your spirit. This part's done. You are perfect and complete in Christ, according to Colossians chapter 3. Everyone say, "I'm complete." So you're complete in Christ. Your spirit man is complete, right? But now something's got to be done with this soulish man. So there's got to be the renewal of the mind. The word renew in the Greek actually means this. It means to think. You're going to like this. Think young. That's what it means. So the renewal of the mind, that's the literal translation, think young. So it's your thinking. So now as you go, I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures tonight, so forgive me. But as you go in your Bibles, go over to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. So Ephesians chapter 4 begins to show us something here. And in Ephesians chapter 4, each one of these chapters, you know, the Ephesian church was the most spiritual church. I don't know if you know that or not, But the most spiritual church in your Bible was the Ephesian church. The most spiritually sick church was the Jerusalem church. That's why there's, you ever notice there's not a book written to the church in Jerusalem? I mean, they were just such a mess that everybody was always trying to fix them and help them. They were the worst. Probably behind them was probably the Corinthians. But so here in Ephesians chapter 4, so Ephesians chapters 1 and 2, the Bible starts talking about the Father. Ephesians 3 and 4, he talks about Jesus the Son. In chapters 5 and 6, he talks about the Spirit. Okay? So the book of Ephesians is an interesting book. This is the only book along with with Colossians, that he does not rebuke them first. It's just constant encouragement because of their spiritual growth. Okay? So in Ephesians chapter 4, he says this, listen, in verse 11, he gave some to become apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Now, your Bible says perfect, but underline the word perfect. It actually means mature. To a mature man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of trickery of doctrine and cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. Come on, prophesy to your neighbor. Say, would you please grow up? All right. That you may grow up in all things in him who's the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fit together, knit together, just like Kishi was talking about, and what every joint supplies according to the effectual working of which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. The word Gentiles is the same word nations. As the rest of the nations walk, and the futility of their having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because the ignorance in them, because the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work uncleanness and greediness. But you've not so learned Christ, if indeed you've heard him and have been taught by him, the truth that is in Jesus, that you'd put off concerning the former conduct, the old man. Okay, now underline that, because I'm going to come back to this whole old man, new man thing. And the old man is not your husband, ladies. Okay. The old man, which grows corrupt according to its deceitful lust, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind, right? That you'd put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And just like the scripture I read first, like with Elisha says, where did you lose it? Elisha says, where did you lose it? What were they doing? They were cutting down trees. As they're cutting down trees, the axe head flew off into the water. And the Bible says, and Elisha says, where'd you lose it? And they said, it flew into the water. So he picks up a stick and he goes over and he throws the stick. As he throws the stick into the water, the Bible says that it went and it connected with the axe head, and the axe head floated to the top and swam to the shore. That's pretty amazing, right? And that would be pretty amazing service. But the whole thing was about, where are we losing it? Where are we missing it? And this is what the Holy Spirit said to me this afternoon, is that this is where we're missing it, is right here, is in the renewal of our mind. In every struggle that you have in your life, it's not the devil. It's not your mother-in-law. It's not the IRS. Come on, somebody. Your number one problem is not even the devil. The problem is your own mind. It's your own thoughts. Because when you're in the kingdom of darkness, all right, and you were not saved, in the kingdom of darkness, you had a thought process. There was a way you thought. In the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of God, there's a different thought process. Come on, right? So now we start to think differently and we begin to function differently, because the thing of it is that we have to constantly renew our mind. Now, When I was in Bible school, Kenneth Hagin used to teach this. He used to say this. He used to say, just like every day you have to comb your hair, every day you have to renew your mind. Okay? So some of you don't have to comb your hair anymore, but all right, but just work with me here, all right? So just like every day you got to comb your hair, every day you got to renew your mind. Now, we could lay hands on you tonight till you go bald, and that is not going to renew your mind. Come on. All the laying on of hands is not going to renew your mind. The renewal of the mind takes place as you begin to take the thoughts of God and you begin to start to think like God thinks and start to function like God thinks. Come on, somebody. Amen. Just like we were talking about last night, just like we were talking about today, what did you guys do? You started to think like Christ. You started to act like Christ, right? And the more you act like Christ, the more that people respond to you that way. Now, not so much here in America, because we have much more of a Greek mentality. But like you go outside of America, you go into Africa, you go into India, you go into some of these third world countries, they will respond to you that way. That's why Peter and John, when they went and they ministered healing to that guy, they immediately started worshiping them. They thought they were gods. We go to parts of Africa. The moment I minister healing to somebody, they start calling me prophet. Prophet, come here. Prophet, come here. You know, why is that? Because it's a respect for supernatural power. Come on, amen. And so we're so used to with a Greek mindset that is actually still a darkness mentality. Are you ready for this? We constantly think in terms of, he's nothing. It's all him. And so we go into churches, and I remember we were in a church one time, and we were ministering, and this lady came up, and she was dying of cancer. This is in Lakeland, Florida. And so she came up. She's dying. Her son's not saved. This woman's not saved. And so they bring her. The son is cussing in the altar, because the ushers missed his mother and she fell. And her bones were so brittle that she could shatter a bone at nothing. And so he was cussing at the ushers. So I said, he was yelling at the ushers and stuff. I said, stop, go sit down. How many of you remember when Jesus went and cleared the house out with the parents of the child that was dead? It was their house. He said, get out. How many of you remember that? Peter did the same thing in the book of Acts. How many of you remember that? Right? Exact same thing, right? So I did the same thing. I just responded like they did. I said, you go sit down. He goes, this is my mother. I said, I don't care. This is my conference. Go sit down. Everyone thought, oh, wow, I can't believe he would say something, you know, so strong like that, you know? And so I said to the lady, now the woman is screaming and crying in pain from falling down. The ushers missed her, and the ushers were standing back with their arms like this, and the woman just bit it like that, and here she is on death's door. She smelled so bad that she couldn't sit by other people. Literally, an entire section got up and moved. She had literally less than 30 days to live. The cancer, she smelled like rotten meat. You ever smelled rotten meat? That's what she smelled like. I mean, she just cleared out a whole section. Literally, we had 200 people get up and move in this big church. Stephen Strader's brother-in-law, that's the church it was. So anyways, long story short, so I said to the woman, stop crying. Stop. Just stop crying. Look at me. I said, I bring you healing tonight. Now, it messed up. All the Christians were all offended when I said that. She wasn't. She totally understood. Are you with me? I said, I bring you healing right now. I came to bring you healing. I said, look at me. I said, you're going to walk now, and the pain's going to go, and the cancer will go from you. I said, come, just walk. And so we started to walk, and the more we began to walk, color came back into her face. She took off running around the church, totally healed. Come on. And that was in 2007, and she's still alive today. Come on. Amen. Amen. So, of course, then I had to go back and fix it with the Christians. So everybody was all, it wasn't you, it was God. Okay, of course. But she can't see God because she's spiritually blind. Come on, somebody. Do you understand? So you have to be able to communicate with people. Come on. And that's why Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. He didn't say, I have nothing. I'm a worm. I'm a nobody. I can't do anything. I couldn't heal a fly's wing. Did he say that? No, he said, such as I have. Come on, amen. He said, such as I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, amen. So he wasn't calling on God. He was saying, I've got it. I don't have to work it up. I don't have to pray it up. I don't have to fast it up. It's here. It's in me. I'm complete in Christ. Now I have to renew my mind because my mind says, yeah, but you got mad at that lady because she cut you off in traffic and she waved that middle finger at you and now you're all upset. Come on, somebody, right? And so here's the thing of it is it's the renewal of your mind. The problem with the drug addict is not the drugs. The problem is the mindset. The addiction is in the mind. When I started in the ministry in 1986, I was working for Jim Baker at PTL for 9 months. I'm so thankful. I worked with drug addicts and alcoholics. I worked 20-hour days. I slept 4 hours a night. I mean, it was crazy. But that's how I started. And I had to preach the word to these guys 4 hours a day. I had to come up with 4 Bible studies a day. And here I had never done it in my life. I just got out of Bible school in 1986. I mean, I just got out. And here, boom, I'm thrust in with all these drug addicts. And I'm realizing the problem is not the devil. The problem is their thoughts. The problem is what they set their mind on. Now, I'm going to prove it to you out of your own Bible. So go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Well, you know, Pastor, pray for me. The devil's been after me all week. No, it's not the devil, sweetheart. It's your own head. I'm going to shoot that religious cow in the head tonight, all right? Come on. It's not the devil. It's your own thoughts that are going back to darkness thoughts. Keep going, Brother Tom. I will. So Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are... Okay. So those who are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. Right? All right. And those who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Right? Then he says, for the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, condemn sin in the flesh. Right? Verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Right? Okay. For those who live according to the flesh, how do they do it? Oh, the devil attacks them. It's principalities and powers and evil spirits all over this particular count. No, they set their minds. Come on. They set their minds on what? The things of the flesh. Come on. It's, you know, when I was a kid, I remember Flip Wilson saying, the devil made me do it. You know, how many of you remember Flip? You know, and so that's not true. That's the biggest lie. The devil didn't make you do anything. Someone said, well, the devil's putting these thoughts in my head. No, it's not the devil. It's your own mind. It's your own untrained, unrenewed mind, your soul, you're allowing to go back to think darkness thoughts. But those who live according to the Spirit, what do they set their minds on? You set your mind on the things of the Spirit. He said, listen, then you won't even have condemnation. Because when you set your mind on the Spirit, then you'll have the things of the Spirit, right? Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is? But to be spiritually minded is? Life and peace, right? Come on, right? Because the carnal mind is in enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be, right? So then those who are in the flesh, they can't please God. Now he's talking about the believers. He's saying, if you're in the flesh, you can't please God because you're thinking in a different world. I say it like this. Forgive me for doing this, those who have to clean up after me. This is what God gave me, all right? So pepper, we're going to call it flesh. Salt, we'll just call it spirit. All right? So what you set your thoughts on, as you set your mind on those thoughts, you know, sometimes people think, oh man, I just started really getting into it, you know, and in the prayer meeting or in the worship or whatever it was. No, what happened is you went and you purposely set your mind and you started sowing to the Spirit. Come on, somebody. At the same way that you set your mind on the Spirit, you could easily set your mind on the things of the flesh. Well, she made me mad. No, she didn't make you do anything. You set your own mind on it. You got mad on yourself. Well, he offended. No, he didn't offend you. You set your mind on the things of the flesh. And you partook of darkness, so it brought forth death. Pepper, pepper, pepper. The devil's doing it. The devil's not doing it. It's your own mind. It's your own thoughts. Come on, right? So it's your own mind. So what's over there? You know what's over here? Over here is sin consciousness, constantly conscious of your unrighteousness. I just don't have God's thoughts. You know, our ways are not God's ways, and our thoughts aren't God's thoughts. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. The verse before that says, the wicked, your thoughts are not God's thoughts. Your ways are not God's ways. You got to read the verse before. Come on. That's one of the most misquoted scriptures in the whole Bible. You do have the thoughts of God. I'll prove it to you. 2 Corinthians says you have the mind of Christ. Come on, somebody. So as soon as you start to say, I know God's ways, I know God's thoughts, now you start to sow to the Spirit. Come on, right? And the more you sow to the Spirit, the more you'll reap life, light and life and peace. And you'll start to reap more and more and more from the Spirit. So, where was that other verse I was going to go to? So go back to Ephesians chapter 4. So Ephesians chapter 4, because as he's talking about these things, now we see he brings up this word here. He brings up the old man. And he brings up the new man. Right? So here Paul talking says this. He says, listen, this I say, verse 17, therefore in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles or the nations walk in the futility of their mind or their thoughts. Because their understanding's darkened, alienated from the life of God, the ignorance, the blindness that's in their heart, their past feeling, they've given themselves over. Verse 20, you've not so learned Christ. Verse 21, if indeed you've heard him, you've been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the... So he says, you have to put this off. God's not going to do it. Look at your neighbor, say, put it off. Pastor's not going to do it. The greatest preacher that comes in here, he's not going to do it. Benny Hinn could walk in here. He's not going to do it. Jesus Christ himself could walk in here, and he's not going to do it. You have to put off that old thinking. Come on. Come on, right? So put off the former conduct, the old man that grows corrupt according to its deceitful lust, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So be renewed here in your thought process, verse 24, and that you put on the... how do I put on the new man, Brother Tom? You start to think the thoughts of the Spirit. You set your mind on the things of the Spirit, not on the things of the natural. Come on. You start to set your mind. Someone says, I can't do that evangel. I love those testimonies, Pastor Rick. I can't do that. I get so nervous. Who's talking? Who's talking? I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm just not built that way, Pastor. You don't know what I've gone through, Pastor. And my mother and my father and my husband and the devil and my cousins and flesh. Old man, constantly sowing that same seed. Come on, somebody. Well, you don't understand, brother. I just can't do that. God's called me to do something different. I just can't do anything like that makes me feel uncomfortable. God doesn't want me to feel uncomfortable. Show it to me in the book. Show me in the book where that's somewhere in there. Come on, somebody. But as soon as you start to change the way you think, you start to say, man, I can do all things through Christ. I can do it. If God says I can do it, if Jesus says I can do it, I can do it. Come on, right, Sue? If I can do it, yeah, right, Sue? I mean, you would have said last night you couldn't do it, right? And here she is. I thought she was going to be the entire evangelist of the whole group this morning. Because she was sowing to the Spirit. Come on, somebody. Amen. And you know, you get people, you get church people that decade after decade after decade, this church thing is my wife's thing. That's not my thing. I just fish and hunt and work and pay the bills. And who's talking? Old man. That's all old man talk. Well, you know, this time of year, I start to get a cold. I start to get sick. It happens all the time this time. Oh, who's talking? So you have to ask yourself, who's talking all the time? Because Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about two different things. Number one, he talks about your words. He talks about put off the conversation, and he says start to change your thoughts. Renew your mind. Two things he talks about, your words and your thoughts. So your head and your mouth. What are the two biggest problems you got? Your head and your mouth, right? So Paul hits them both right there. It's your head and your mouth. That's the problem. And so now look at this. 1 Corinthians. I'm going to just throw some scriptures if you can keep up with me. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. See, this man here, the old man, is an old creation. This one here that walks in light, in the kingdom of God, in power, in healing, in dominion, this one is a new creation. Come on, right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this, verse 9. I've heard this for years in old Pentecostal churches, and they never read verse 10. Verse 9 says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has even entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Pause. They stop. But 10 is still connected. Verse 10 says, but God has revealed them. Come on, somebody. Look up here. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God. Verse 14 says, but the natural man, come on. That's the problem. The natural man, now he calls this guy, he calls him not only the old man, now he also calls him the natural man. So he calls him natural, and he calls this one spiritual. Do you ever notice that God never calls this wisdom? That's how the carnal mind thinks. The carnal mind says, I'll go out with you, Sue. I'll go out with you, James, out to go evangelize, but... you know, I can't do it, but I'll just, you know, I'll just be with you and this and that and stuff. But I can't do that stuff. I'm just not built that way, you know. And so that's what the carnal mind says. That's the natural man. That natural man always says can't. But the spiritual man says I can. Come on, somebody. The spiritual man says I can do all things through Christ. It doesn't matter how difficult it is. Come on, right? I mean, you know. And so it takes a mindset change. You know, Pastor Rick and I, you know, we didn't just wake up one day and say, hey, we're going to be preachers. We got nothing else going on. So let's just try that. You know, see how that works out for us. I mean, I gave up an entire opportunity of a career in computers. I could have made millions of dollars with my uncle. I gave it all up. Let me tell you, we don't make millions of dollars in the ministry. If you think that, you're smoking bad weed, I'll tell you right now. Okay. But I'm telling you, I gave up an awesome opportunity to do this. But I went and I had a choice. I had to follow what God had for me because I knew the Spirit of God was speaking to me to walk in this place, to walk in this, not just walk in this, but to do this. And so here I'm like, Lord, I don't know how to preach. And so when it came time to preach, I went and said, I can do it. I love doing it. I never get afraid. Everyone thought I was crazy. Including my own head. I was like, what? I mean, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous to get on up there. And I mean, now I've preached to literally 20, 30, 40,000 people at one time. And my blood pressure doesn't even get up a little bit when I'm about to do it. Come on, right? Why? Because I've learned to walk in that part. The same thing is true with healing. That the more you walk in divine healing, the more confident you get. Right? This brother who plays the sax, you know, if I was going to get up and play the sax, my legs probably would get a little wobbly because I'm not used to it. But you probably didn't get nervous at all on Sunday to get up and play, right? Maybe a little bit. Or okay. All right. But the thing of it is that you just learn in the spirit, you learn to push through things and stuff. And so you learn to push out of that old thinking. So, okay, go over to, let's see. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. Colossians and Ephesians are sister books. I think it's like 80% of Colossians is Ephesians or something like that, 70%. So Colossians says this. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Then he says, ask God to help you if it was his will to put your mind on things above. Is that what it says? Doesn't it say ask Jesus and he'll kind of help you with this? Is that what that verse says? Come on, read it over the top of my head. So in other words, God has nothing to do with this. This is your thing you have to do. If you have a bad attitude, it's because you're walking in darkness. It's because you're walking in the old man. Come on. If you're walking in depression, I love you. God wants you free, but you have to stop thinking those thoughts. And you have to force your mind to think on these thoughts. That's why Paul says in Philippians 4, think on these things. He even tells you, hey, dude, grab a hold of your mind. Think on these things. Whatever is pure, holy, just. Right? Set your minds. Come on, elbow your neighbor. Say, this is your verse. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is now hid with Christ in God. And when our life, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, leave that verse up there. For years, I used to read that in an end time eschatology frame of mind. But one day God challenged me. What if that's not an end time verse? That's right. What if that verse is for you right now in 2016? What if when Christ, who is our life, now watch this, appears in you, then you will also appear with him in that glory. Come on, somebody. So now he says, set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth, right? So he's talking about your mind. Boom, verse 4. Then when Christ, who is our life, appears. Appears where? In heaven, over Jerusalem? No. In you. When Christ appears in you, then he says, you will also appear with him in that place of glory. Come on, right? So here, that's what the Holy Spirit is saying. And then he goes on to say this in verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds, and you've put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. In other words, he's saying, listen, we're all the same. There is no Jew, there is no more Gentile anymore in the New Testament. That's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, but as soon as you put on that mindset, you are the body of Christ. You are Christ on the earth. Come on. I'm not saying you're Jesus Christ, you're not the Messiah, but you are Christ on the earth. The word Christ means anointed one, right? You are the anointed one. You pray, oh God, send revival to Rochester. God says, hey, you, why do you think you're there? You're the one. That's where the river comes, is out of you. It's got to come out of you. It doesn't come out anywhere else. It's got to come out of you. That's why he says, put off the old man, that old thinking. I start to put on a new man that's renewed in Christ. As soon as you start to change the way you think, listen, as soon as you change the way you think, all of a sudden the kingdom opens to you. As soon as I started to do that in my own life, I started to see God manifest in a greater measure in my life. As soon as I began to stop thinking in terms of, God, I just need an anointing to do this, and I need an anointing to do that, and I need an anointing for cripples to walk, I need an anointing for deaf ears to hear, I need an anointing to prophesy, and I just said, you know what, I'm spiritual. I can do all of these things. Jesus didn't need anointing for any of them. He did all of them. He walked in the fullness of God, according to Isaiah chapter 11. Come on. It wasn't a gift of the word of knowledge. He walked in the fullness of the spirit of knowledge. And that's why I started off with that scripture where Ephesians says, now you can walk in that fullness. And when I started to do that, listen, we started to see ridiculous miracles. Ever since I got saved, I always had miracles. But something happened in 2006. In 2006, we went to South Africa. And when we went there, I saw a miracle man that I'd been watching for many years on the internet. And we went to go minister for him. And this guy, they were seeing 200 cripples rise and walk a week. So many lame people rising and walking in their church that the hospital would call the church every week asking if they could get canes, crutches, and wheelchairs. God's honest truth. If I didn't see with my own eyes, I mean, it was just wow. And I mean, literally every week the hospital would send a truck down to the church to go get all the canes, crutches, and wheelchairs. I mean, wouldn't that be great, Pastor Rick? That I mean, yeah, that they sent a truck down here just every week just to get canes, crutches, and wheelchairs. Yeah, for real, honest to God. And so here I am in this church. The church had in the back, they had an AIDS section about the size of half this basketball court. And there was about 75 people dying with AIDS. And they just had, not a cot, but like a, what do they call that where the kids go take naps on? Those little mats. It was like a mat about that thick. And they had mats all lined up on the one side of the church. And it just said HIV. And the new regime in South Africa, you're not allowed to say the word AIDS anymore. So they can tell the UN that they got rid of AIDS since 94. But so there was good things with Mandela and bad things. But anyways, so they have this HIV part of the church. So literally, as you walk in, it smells like death. Can you imagine a whole section of just people dying? It's common. Every service, someone dies. Every service. Not some, but they've raised over 300 and some people from the dead. Come on. So here I walk into this. I am like in culture shock, you know? And so the pastor says, Tom, come on over here. Let's go minister to some people. Now, this is on live television. Okay, there's no pause here. Okay, this isn't to be shown later. This is live globally. 120 million people watching us. And so I walk with him over there. And I'm like, dear God in heaven, help me now. I mean, I had seen miracles before, but I had never seen where literally where blood was pouring out of people's eye sockets, blood coming right out of their eyes, blood just running out of their ears like water. I'd never seen urinating themselves, can't even hold themselves, defecating themselves. They can't even hold themselves, dying, raising their hands. Pray for me, on death's door. Doctor sent them home to die. 80-pound grown men, 6'1", 80 pounds, bag of bones. Honest to God. Man, I wish I would have gotten that video for you guys. You could have seen it. And we walk over and this prophet friend of mine says, go for it, brother. Just do it. And I'm like, yippee. Okay, here we go. Thank you very much on live 120 million people watching this, you know. And so I prayed for some people and some people were healed and stuff. And so then afterwards, I said to him when the service was over, I said, man of God, I said, do I need you to anoint me to pray for me to do what you're doing? He said, no. All you need to do is change the way you think. I said, so wait a minute. You mean I could just get on a plane right now, fly back to America? I was living in Florida. I said, you mean I could fly to Florida right now and I could do the same thing? He said, yes. I said, that's crazy. He said, no, it's putting on Christ It's putting on the new man, as it talks about in Ephesians and Colossians. It's putting on that thought. And so I said, okay. So I got on a plane after being there for 10 days of ministry, and I came home. Sorry, it's all that pepper in the air. So I get on this flight, and I come home. God's honest truth. First church we went to was up in North Carolina, Salisbury. Went to this church and to minister, and all these people came the first night. I said, we're going to go ahead and start the service tonight. We're going to pray for all the crippled people tonight. Well, I mean, there was like probably 20 lame and crippled people there. Wheelchairs, walkers, canes, you name it. I'm like, okay, God, could we started with two? I mean, why you got to start me with 20? I mean, you know, you can kind of ease me into this thing here, you know? And so I'm like, all right. He said, just change the way you think. So I said, okay, I just changed the way I think. So all these people came down to the front, and the worship team came running up to the altar because God only heals with worship. And see, I thought all you Indiana people knew that God only healed with worship. And so I said, worship team, I said, nope, go sit down. That's okay. We're going to do this just the way it is. And so I went, and one by one, I began to pray for them. One by one, crutches began to fly. By the end of the service, the whole altar was filled with canes, crutches, walkers, wheelchairs. Come on, somebody. Amen. And I knew something changed in me. Shortly right after that, I ministered in Springfield, Ohio. You met Pastor Jim. And so I went to go minister for this guy. He was a friend of a guy who saw me on TV in South Africa. So he had me in to minister. And so here I get up that Sunday morning, right? So I get up Sunday morning, and so I start to pray in the Spirit right before they call me up to the front. I'm praying in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, they won't believe you unless you do a miracle. So start the service with a miracle. Like, oh, could you like give me a hint? I mean, Like which one? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, could you just tell me who it is at least? Nothing. God says nothing. This is God's honest truth. I'm like, okay, I'm trying to look. I don't see anybody that has a need. And then I remember right before service, I had to go to the bathroom, and I saw a guy in the bathroom with a full back body cast, like, and he was about 18, 19 years old. So I'm looking around, and I said, hey, where's the kid that was in the bathroom? I just saw you in the toilet. And so everyone just starts laughing when I said that. So I'm like, where's the guy I saw on the toilet? I said, you were in the bathroom. And I said, and you had a full body cast on. And now everyone just stopped. It was dead serious, because the kid broke his back in two places in a football injury that year. So the kid comes down to the front. Now everybody starts crying. So the kid comes down. So he comes up to the front. And so I just put my hands, God's honest truth, on his stomach and his back. I felt nothing. I'm just being honest with you. I felt nothing. Remember, renew our mind. Change the way you think. It doesn't matter what you feel. Come on, somebody. It doesn't go by what you feel. You don't have to feel heat. You don't have to hear angels. It goes by, it's all by faith. Come on, right? You hear me? And so I went, and I just put my hands in his belly and on his back. It's in the name of Jesus, I command to create a miracle. The young man looked at me, and he said, two of my discs are out. My back is broke in half. This thing is holding me together. And so I said, that's all right. So I just ministered to him like that. Back, be healed. All pain, go. 5 seconds. Take my hands away. The young man says, thank you. Now he's got this thing all the way down to his waist, and it's all the way holding his head up like this. So he goes back. I said, where are you going? I said, you're not done. He said, what? I said, yeah, let's take it off. Let's see what God did. Now everyone goes into emergency tongues now, big time, right? And so, I mean, it took several minutes. I mean, the pastor's got to come up. We're unhooking straps and we're unhooking clips and stuff. And this takes several minutes. I'm not kidding you, right? And so, but we're taking it all off. Now the kid starts crying, right? And so I had a choice to think spiritual or to think carnal. Come on, somebody. I had a choice to respond to fear or respond to faith. Faith is not in darkness. Faith only lives in light. Come on, somebody. Fear lives in darkness. That's the only place it lives. Come on, somebody, right? So finally we get this whole thing off of him. As we get the whole thing, a contraption off of him, boom. I said, touch your toes as fast as you can. So before he could think, he bent down, stood up, and he just started bawling. I had to hold him because he was crying so hard. He says, you have no idea. My back is literally broke in half, and all of the discs went back into place the moment that he bent down to touch his toes. Come on, somebody. I mean, I could tell you of one after another in the church, out of the church, all of them was responding constantly to the Spirit. The girl in the video in the mall, I felt nothing. We were walking out the mall. It was over. We were done praying for people. But that girl, I gave my phone to this young lady that was with me. I said, here, hold this up. I said, let's go talk to this girl. And so I said, do you have pain? The girl said, yeah, I have pain. And she said, and I could speak English too. And I said, so where's the pain? She said, in my shoulder. She said, I can't lift it because about a little over a month ago, I hurt it. And so I said, I take away people's pain. She said, oh, please help me. So I said, okay, just stand right here. And then that's where the video picks up and you hear her say, don't hurt me. She goes, don't hurt me now. I'm not going to hurt you. And so I just said, in the name of Jesus, all pain go. Took my hand away. I said, raise it. Come on, somebody. You know what that is? That's spiritual thinking. That's right. Come on, somebody. Amen. And as soon as that happened, she was instantly healed. You saw it yourself. Now, the video goes on. She accepts the Lord. She gets radically born again. And then the following girl comes walking up and hears her crying to her mother saying, you know, we found this angel guy. He's an angel. He's got to be an angel. He came up and prayed for me in the mall. And all she wanted to do was keep hugging on me. She was crying so hard. She goes, you have no idea how much pain. I haven't been able to lift anything. I haven't been able to sleep at night. Come on, somebody. Amen. But it takes place in our thoughts. So will you put that soak in the presence on for me? And I think, let me just say this to you. This is including myself. I think sometimes us Pentecostal charismatic people, we spend way too much time on an anointing instead of by faith, setting our mind on things above. Come on, somebody. I think we spend so much time saying, Pastor, pray for me. I need an anointing to do this. I got to have an anointing to brush my teeth. I have to have an anointing to pick out my socks. I got to have an anointing to go to work. And I need but we don't see the early church like this. The early church did not function like that. The early church just functioned entirely by faith. They functioned in the spiritual. They functioned in the new man. They functioned constantly on renewing their thoughts. It was all about changing the way they think. And I'm telling you, as soon as you start to think like that, I promise you, everything will change in your life. The problem is not the devil. I mean, I'll just tell you this. First time we went to Uganda, I ministered in Uganda. We had 20,000 people a night coming. The Muslims would come, and they would throw their children up on the altar and say, heal my son. They didn't want to hear, I can't heal them. I couldn't heal a gnat. They don't want to hear that. You understand? You know, you've been to India. They don't want to hear that garbage. That's just religious American trash. I'm just going to say it tonight. I left evangelist Tom Scarell in the room and revivalist is out tonight. So I'm just saying it, all right? Come on, somebody. So here I am in Uganda, and these women are throwing their children up saying, heal my deaf son. Heal my crippled daughter. Just one after another. What I didn't know was the night before is a witch came and she put a curse on the pulpit. Now I'd hired a Maasai to watch over all of our stuff, the equipment. If you don't know what a Maasai is, you ever see pictures of the guy with the bright red and they're real tall and thin? It just means lion killer. To be a Maasai, you have to kill a lion with nothing but your bare hands. That's how serious these guys are. So they can go anywhere in Africa and nobody messes with them. But the Maasai, my Maasai guy that was watching everything, all the equipment and the sound equipment, he fell asleep. And in came this witch. And so the witch came in and she poured chicken blood on the altar. And she put a curse and she said, when the American comes and when he touches the altar, he'll fall dead.
Not the altar.
When he touches the pulpit, he'll fall dead. So she sat out in the crowd and she waited as she had put this curse on the altar. So when I came out that night, I just preached about Jesus is the God of all gods and there's no power outside of him. I said, the devil has no power because Jesus Christ said all power was given unto me in heaven and on earth. Come on, somebody. So the only power the devil has is the power you give him through your thoughts. Come on, somebody. So I get there to preach that night. Now, I'm not real animated a lot of times when I preach, but that night I was. And I literally jumped up on the pulpit. I was pounding the pulpit like this. I was slamming the pulpit, and she's tripping out because I'm not dying. Nothing's happening to me. Now, listen, you know why? Because I gave it no place in my thoughts. I didn't allow it to have any place in my thoughts. And I think a lot of times we give the enemy so much place in our thought life. Come on. And as a result, he constantly pulls us back to the old man through just our own carnal thinking. It's our own stinking thinking. And so that's why we have to change our thoughts. And so, Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, Lord, we refuse to throw any more pepper in our thoughts. We're done throwing pepper. It's time to throw salt. It's time to throw and think on the things of the Spirit. It's time for us to set our mind on things above, not on what we're addicted to. We're not addicted to anything because we're free in Christ. Not what our hang-ups are. Well, my dad was this way, and so I'm the same. No. You're just adopting your dad's thought process. Come on, amen. And so, Lord, tonight we thank you. Right now, we change the way we think. We change those thoughts. No more thoughts of bondage. No more thoughts of addiction. No more thoughts of I need to, or I have to, or I'm driven to. We're free. We're free. So tonight I set you free tonight in the name of Jesus all over this house. I set you free in your own thoughts. I set you free of condemnation. I set you free of your own mind condemning you tonight. I set you free of condemning and thoughts and thoughts of not being good enough. I say to you tonight, as to your spirit, man, you are a new man in Christ. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are clean and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are in right standing with Almighty God. I just prophesy to you that tonight over every single person that's here tonight, no matter what you struggle with in your mind and in your thoughts tonight, we change it. You just change it by your own thinking, by your own thinking. No longer are we going to allow our mind and our thoughts to go back to the way we used to do things. No longer are we going to go back to condemnation, but instead we're going to walk in boldness. No longer are we going to walk in fear and in worry. What if we don't? What if it doesn't happen? What if it doesn't come through? No more what ifs. The new man doesn't live with what ifs. He only lives with definites. And so, Lord, that's how we set our minds tonight, right now, all over this house. Come on, just stretch your hands toward heaven right now. Father, thank you right now for the power of God that's in this room, even healing people right now in their seats. Whether we lay hands on them or not, right now, the healing power of Jesus, I just release it on you now. I set you free of it. I set you free right now. If you're here tonight and you've struggled with addictions, right now, God sets you free right now. He sets you free right now and forgives you of your sins and cleanses you from all that unrighteousness right now. We just release you now in the name of Jesus. No longer to live in fear and condemnation, but to live in victory and faith and boldness. And to walk as a bold woman and man of God in the name of Jesus. Lord, tonight we just raise our hands toward heaven and we say, Lord, tonight we change the way we think. We're going to think young. We're going to think young. We're going to think kingdom thoughts. We're going to think kingdom of light, not kingdom of darkness. We're going to think thoughts of the Spirit, not thoughts of we don't have, but thoughts of we can and we do have. We're not going to think thoughts of lack and poverty, but we're going to think thoughts of abundance. If anyone gets a raise, Lord, we'll be the ones that'll get the raise. If anyone's going to win it, we're going to win it. Because, Lord, we're on the victory side tonight. We give you thanks for it right now. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap. Glory. So you have a choice tonight. You have a choice to shake more pepper or to shake the salt of the kingdom. And just wherever you go, that you just start to see yourself differently. Come on, amen. I'm telling you, I'm prophesying to you now. I'm prophesying that you start to see yourself differently. You start to function differently. You start to speak differently just by your own thoughts. The devil can bring all of his cousins and all the witches and warlocks of all of the world, and they could sit in the church and I could care less. They could hold my water. They could hold my Bible. It's not going to affect me. Come on. I'm telling you right now, I've seen them. We've had them come. I said, come, sit, put a curse. How many of you know who Graham Cook is? Anyone know Graham Cook? Awesome, awesome teacher, right? Phenomenal, isn't he? Yeah, do you like Graham Cook? Yeah, he's amazing. He tells about, he got on a plane not that long ago, and he sat down, and this guy was sitting there, and he had this black book, and he was all dressed in black. And he said the plane took off. They were flying. They were about 20 minutes into the flight. He said the guy leaned over and looked at him and said, I am a witch, and I have come to put a curse on you. I asked that I would have this seat to put a curse on you. And so Graham Cook said, well, I got to go get something to drink. Do you want a Coke or something? I'll get you a Coke. He said, you work up a good one because I don't want to waste my time on you. He said, Graham Cook said to this guy, if you're not going to give me a good one, don't give me no leftover stuff. Get a good one worked up. And so Graham went and got them both a Coke and came back to his seat and walked back to his seat. And so Graham Cook said, now, wait a minute. Let me get out my notebook here. Hold on a second here. He totally did it, And so he says, all right, go. And he started to curse him. And he said, your family's going to die and all of this and sickness will be on you and blah, 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 blah. And then he stopped. And Graham goes, that's it? I got to go to the bathroom. He goes, when I come back, you better think of something else because that's pretty weak, he said. So he goes, in fact, if this is your day job, you really need to consider some other line of work, he said. So he says, I'm going to give you 5 minutes. I'm going to go use the bathroom. You better work up something good because you're wasting my time now. And he went to the bathroom, came back 5 minutes later, and the guy went and pronounced even more curses on him. And Graham Cook said, I just shook my head. I just said, this is just a waste of both of our time. He said, I can't believe that's the best you got. He said, you seriously need to consider another line of work altogether. This is not working out for you. You're not cut out for this. You're not cut out for this. And so the guy was just stunned and just shook his head. He said, he was stunned, And Graham Cook said, I just began to tell him. He said, now let me just tell you right now. He said, there is no curse you could ever put on me that could affect me. He said, you couldn't affect my family. You couldn't affect me. You couldn't affect my ministry. And he started to just turn around and turned his words around. And he said, but I pronounce a blessing on you. Wherever you go, you won't even sleep at night because Jesus Christ is going to manifest to you in your sleep. And he just went because he said, the power of a blessing is 10 times stronger than the power of a curse. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. But the reason it affects some people is because it's the way they think. You hear the way they pray. They pray. They're always praying the devil this, and they're singing songs to sing devil and devil get out of here. The early church never did that. They didn't spend all their time talking to the devil. Come on, somebody. He's defeated. If he's defeated, then why are you talking to him? They just ignored him. They ignored him because he had no more power over them. All power was given to Jesus Christ. And so God, we thank you for it tonight. So just everyone jump to your feet.